Welcome to Advanced Biblical Foundations, and this is session 9 in our physical healing series. I hope you've enjoyed it so far, and I really hope that you've been healed. I encourage you to listen to it again, continue to believe God for healing, give it to people that are sick, and let them also listen to the information. I want to talk about the Lord's Supper. I think it is so important for us. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm going to read this account, and then we may look at some of the other accounts. The Lord's Supper, instituted by the Lord Himself, is mentioned in all four Gospels. So obviously it's very, very important. The Lord Himself instituted this. But I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. So, "For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes.'" Now, I want to, if you have your Bibles or your electronic devices, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. I'm breaking in here into Paul talking to the church at Corinth. It's addressing issues and addressing things that were somewhat out of order. One of them was the communion meal. They were having it mixed with just their own celebrations and stuff. And what Paul was saying is that it's not, you don't understand how important this really is. Because this verse in verse 16 of chapter 10 says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion or the fellowship of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, one bread and one body, for we are partake of that one bread." Paul is trying to explain to the church at Corinth how important this the blood and the bread is, and how important the Lord Himself instituted this. And I think we sometimes may have not fully recognized how phenomenal this really is. So I want to talk about that. Now, you can read each account and in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because each one of those are there. Now, I want to continue reading in verse 27. It says, "Whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak, sick among you, and many sleep." Now, he goes on talking about if we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. And if we're chastened by God, there's nothing, it's good. But I want to focus on the reality of what he's saying here. He's saying, look, you're missing something. You're not discerning the Lord's body properly. You need to take this in a worthy manner. So let's go back and let's look at this. Number one, it says that when he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." It also, in verse 25, "Do this in remembrance of Me." So first and foremost, we need to realize that, wow, this is a continual reminder of what Jesus did for us. That's why it's a gift to us. It's not something we just do as a ceremony in church. It's not something you just do ever so often when you think, oh, I need to do that. But it is so important for us to recognize why He instituted this ordinance for us to do. Because He said, if we don't understand it, if we eat in an unworthy manner, He says, literally, we could be weak, sick, and even sleep. The word actually means be dead. There is huge benefits for us if we understand what is being communicated through the taking of the Lord's Supper. So if you're watching this right now, we're going to take the Lord's Supper in just a few minutes at the end when I finish. And so if you're watching it, you can stop and get some your elements now to be prepared. But it's so important for us to recognize, so what is he saying? Well, we're supposed to remember. Remember what? Remember he died for you and he died for me. We need to remember that he gave his life so that we might have life. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's amazing. He loves us so much that he would put on flesh, dwell among us, and then Jesus would go to the cross and die for us. So we need to continually be reminded. So that again, the whole point of the bread and the cup is to have a continual reminder. So I've got a little bread and cup here that I'm going to take here in a minute. But every time that I partake of communion or the Lord's Supper, wow, that needs to be a continual reminder. This is how much God loved me. He loved me so much that he gave his life. Now we know John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. But the reality is Romans, in fact, turn if you will to Romans chapter 5. And verse 6 says, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man, one will die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that amazing? So, he loved us. He said, I chose you. You didn't choose me. In fact, turn, if you will, to 1 John at the end of the Bible, 1 John chapter 4. Verse 8 of chapter 4, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. See, God is love, and he loved us. And I want you to think every time that we take communion, whatever, it's not the elements. These are representative. But every time we do Lord's Supper, I want you to be reminded of that is how much God loves you. He went to the cross and died for you. And he died for me. Isn't that amazing? No man, it says, that lay down his life for his friend, but Jesus did. Jesus gave his life. No one took his life. He gave his life for you and for me. Love, see, is not just an emotion. Love is an action. And Jesus carried that out by going to the cross. So first and foremost, I think we should continually be reminded of the fact that, wow, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, that you loved me. And you need to personalize it. Thank you, Lord, you love me. You love me so much that you went to the cross and died for me. Isn't that amazing? Now, the next thing it says, if we go back up here and look, the first thing, I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians. I was still in 1 John. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is that he goes to the bread. He said, this is my body. Okay. It was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Okay, what is significant about that? Well, Isaiah 53. In Isaiah 53, we've talked about it before, but it is the passage of Scripture that's prophesied about Jesus. And in Isaiah 53, verse 3, this is about Jesus. He is despised and rejected by men. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now, wow, that's a power-packed passage. Everything that Jesus did for us at the cross is basically listed here in this passage. I mean, he was the man that was despised and rejected. Do you realize that Jesus was rejected so we could be accepted? I don't have to, I may feel rejected, but he's not rejected me. Someone may have rejected you, but you're accepted by the one that counts. Everybody may have rejected you, but Jesus says he accepts you because he took our rejection. He was a man of sorrows and grief. Sorrows basically means pain, and grief means sickness. I mean, the reality is that he's acquainted with that. He understands our hurt. He understands our pain. He understands being what it's like for us to be grieved and sick. He understands all of that. He took all that on the cross. Surely he's borne our sicknesses and carried our pain. Surely he did that. How did he do that? By the punishment that he received on the cross. His body wasn't broken, but what he endured were 40 stripes minus one. The beating that he took from the Romans, they were professional executioners. I mean, they knew exactly how to inflict the greatest amount of pain that you could do the greatest damage. And they said if you did 40, it actually would kill somebody. So they do 40 minus one. I mean, Jesus was nearly beaten to death, really, with just the flogging that he received. The instrument that they used was a whip with little stones and little metal pieces in the end, a tassel. So when they hit him, they pulled, it ripped to the bone. It's gory as can be, but the reality is that he took our punishment. The punishment that we deserved, Jesus took it. The anger and the wrath of God that was against us because of sin, put it on Jesus. Isn't that amazing? So we are literally, he was bruised. He was crushed. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. He paid so that we might have peace. And by his stripes we're healed. We're healed, spirit, soul, and body. So I really believe that if we understand when we take communion, God has given to us a vehicle to focus and to, again, have faith in what Jesus has done. So we remember right off the first thing we do, that the bread, this was his body broken for us. We are healed by his stripes. And so I want, when we're going to take communion in a few minutes, we're going to believe for physical healing, emotional healing, for hurts and pain and all that stuff, everything. He didn't just do one thing. Jesus does it all. He's the whole person. Okay, so we're also his, it says, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says down here in verse 29, we're not discerning the Lord's body. There's another aspect of the Lord's body. We need to understand that there's only one body. There's only one head. There's only one church. Regardless of what denomination or group or association you may be part of, it's time for us to understand there's only one church. There was only one Israel, but there were 12 tribes. So we need to recognize that there are differences. But listen, there was still only one Israel. And so there's only one church today. Jesus is the head of that church. Only one way into that church, that through Jesus Christ. But we need to be discerning of the body of Christ because we're one. That means we need to have an attitude better than, we need to respect others and respect their other viewpoints. But there's something about maintaining the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace that we need to recognize. It's for our health and healing. One other thing, Jesus has set in the body their gifts of healing and working of miracles. In the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, It says that there are in the body, verse 27, members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, science, helps, administration, variety of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? No, they're not. But on the contrary, there are gifts of healing and working of miracles that God has set into the body. If we reject part of the body, I'm not of Apollos, or I'm of this, or I'm of that. We're going to miss out on gifts that are in the body that we need. So there's another aspect of discerning the Lord's body, not just his physical body, which he paid for us to be healed, but we can miss out on the spiritual body and not recognize the gifts and the calling that are maybe in other groups and other churches. So it's another thing for us to be careful with. Now, let's continue on. Back to 1 Corinthians, verse 25. It says, in the same manner, he took the cup, and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Now, I want to just spend a little time there. We need to remember that we live in the new covenant. We don't live in the old covenant. So why is that significant? It's hugely significant because the Bible says, this is Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22, and Hebrews 8, verse 6. What it says is that we have a better covenant based on better promises. We have a why is it better? It's better because the old covenant, we were required to keep the rules and law and regulations to relate to a holy God. Well, man couldn't do it. So in the new covenant, Jesus, the last Adam, put on flesh and came, and he actually fulfilled all of that so that the righteous requirement was completely filled. The payment for sin was made, and the covenant was made between Jesus and Father. So bottom line is, we enter into covenant by faith in what Jesus has done. So this is a huge issue. So I don't live in the old covenant. I live in the new covenant. I'm not paying for my sin. It's been paid for. I think we're healed by his stripes. All these things are available to us because we live in the new covenant. And so I think it's important to recognize that the cup of the new covenant. Why? Because we need to be reminded continually, I don't live in the old covenant. My relationship with God is not based on my performance. Yours is not based on your performance. We are so performance-oriented, and we have such a tendency to, everything is based upon how I'm relating to God, how I'm relating to one another. No, we could not perform. It's impossible. You have to, by faith, believe in what Jesus has done for us. But this is hugely significant because much of the church today is still not living in the fullness of the new covenant. This new covenant, he writes the word, well, let's just look at it. Turn, if you will, to Hebrews. Hebrews, I want to begin reading, and this continues actually the next part I want to talk about, the blood, the new covenant in his blood. Why is that so important? This is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. I'm just sort of breaking in a flow of discussion here. It says, according to the law, almost all things are purified are sanctified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or remission of sin. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifice. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, let me just explain that just real quickly. The writer of Hebrews is saying Jesus didn't come and enter into an earthly temple. He went to heaven. But it still did the pattern, and that's what he fulfilled. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once, At the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ has suffered, has offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly await for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Now, chapter 10, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnessed to us, and after he had said, this is the covenant that I'll make with them. I will put, I will put my laws into their heart, and in their minds I will write them. He said, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Now, we need to remember that. We need to remember that part of the new covenant and the shedding of Jesus' blood was the complete payment for our sin. People say, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. No, I was a sinner, but I've been completely forgiven. And do you know something? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so are you if you believe in Jesus. I'm not righteous because of what I do. I'm righteous because of what Jesus did. He became sin with my sinfulness so I could be made the righteousness of God. So I have right standing with Father because of the blood of Jesus. So every time that we take communion, we need to be reminded, wow, how much God loves me. It's amazing. He loved me so much that he would go to the cross and die for me while I was still a sinner. We need to be reminded that he gave his body and that by his stripes we're healed. Spirit, soul, and body in every way. He was rejected so we could be accepted. He was punished so we can share in his grace and mercy. And he was beaten so that we could be healed. And so he took our pain and he took our suffering. So there is healing in taking of the Lord's Supper. We need to be reminded that I don't live in the old, I live in the new covenant. I don't live in a performance mode. I live in relationship. I don't live in having to do something. I live with the acceptance that God accepts me because of the blood of Jesus. Again, it's not based on my performance. He first loved me. And we need to realize that we're absolutely, totally, completely forgiven. There is no residue of sin. I know we still struggle with that. We struggle with living in this flesh. But the reality is we have been forgiven completely. Now, when Jesus forgives, he completely releases us from all obligation of trying to make it right. We couldn't do it. We can't do it. And now, the last thing I want to say before we take communion, because of all this and discerning the Lord's body properly, the body of Christ, we need to also recognize that we need to forgive one another. The power of forgiveness is the power of love. That's what God did for us. He loved us so much, he forgave us. And I just think this is a real important part of taking communion. Do this in remembrance of me. He forgave us. He said, Father, they know not what they do. So I want to take just a moment, and I want you to pray about people that maybe, remember, there's just one body. We need to discern the Lord's body, and we need to recognize that, wow, you may think, I'm not sure everybody's part of the body. Well, it's not for you to determine. Well, our determination is that we're supposed to love one another. That's what Jesus told us to do. So I just want to encourage you right now, you take a moment, and you may want to forgive anybody that you feel like has trespassed against you. And maybe you need to go ask for forgiveness. But the reality is that you need to choose to forgive. And so, Lord, we love you and bless you. We thank you that you forgave us a debt that we could not pay. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness, that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, and we're so thankful. Now, we're going to take communion, and I'm going to believe that God is going to release healing and appropriate everything that he did for us. So, Lord, we thank you for your broken body. We thank you that by your stripes, we're healed. I thank you, Lord, that you took all of our rejection. You took all our punishment. You took everything. And that there's only one body, when you're the head of that body. But Lord, you gave your body to be broken so we could be healed. Said, by your stripes, we are healed. Take and eat. It says in the same manner, he took the cup, he blessed it. Lord, we thank you for your cup. And he said that this is the new covenant in his blood. Lord, we thank you that we live in the new. We thank you that, Lord, that we are completely, absolutely, totally forgiven. I pray, Lord, as we take this, that you would help us to really believe that we're forgiven. Completely, absolutely, totally, completely forgiven. And that we would begin to walk in and live in the reality of relationship with you. So, Lord, we love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for forgiveness of sin. Take and drink. Lord, we love you and bless you and thank you for the grace that you've extended to us. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to not just take communion every so often, but frequently, and use it as really a vehicle to help us walk in the fullness of everything you've paid for. Thank you, Lord, that we're healed by your stripes. Thank you that your body was given so that we might have life. Thank you that you loved us with a living demonstration. Thank you that we have been forgiven completely. Lord, we are so grateful and we're so thankful. And we love you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and thank you for watching. I pray this will be really helpful to you. I pray that you will take communion on a regular basis and appropriate and believe by faith everything that this represents for you and for me. God bless you. Thank you for watching.